This is Senator Braun, our senator from the 20th District, also the leader of the Senate Republicans. You're heading into the home stretch right now for session. Why don't you tell us what's going on and what to expect this week?
Well, yeah, we have 5 days left in the long session, 100 days behind us. It's been a real battle. The Democratic majorities have been pushing hard for not just, you know, tax increases, but enormous new tax increases in the Senate. They started with a proposal for $21.5 billion in new taxes.
Crazy.
Now they're down to, you know, they came back with a mere $13 billion. But what they didn't tell everybody is they had another $5 billion in local taxes authorized, so nearly 18. And now I think we've whittled that down. I think we're going to get it further whittled down. The House is doing a great job as well, House Republicans, and pushing back. And I think there's a path to get it to, you know, I say this a little tongue in cheek, but maybe $8 billion, which is still probably eight times bigger than the largest tax increase in our state's history, but much better than where we started a few weeks ago. They just seem insistent on enormous new taxes, and you know, they start out first saying we're going to go, you know, attack, you know, the wealthy, but what they've landed on is increases in business and occupation tax and increases in sales tax, things that are going to hit the, you know, working Washingtonians directly. It's really unnecessary and going to be a hard thing for our economy to swallow.
So one of the weird things this year that I've seen and that I haven't seen in the past is even though they're doing this tax increase, they're still talking about all these cuts. That doesn't make sense to me. They have a huge budget. What's going on with that?
So that's all very misleading. They are making cuts, and some of them are, I think, really, really bad cuts. As an example, they're making cuts to maternity care for women that I think is very dangerous, frankly. But they claim to have found savings or cuts of about $7 billion over the next 4 years. But they claim there's a big deficit. But they're misleading people on that. There is a deficit. It's about $7 billion. And if they really made cuts of $7 billion, they would have made up for that deficit. There'd be no need for taxes. The truth of the matter is they're spending a bunch more money on some very big ticket items that, frankly, we can't afford this year.
John, one question. Do you think... whether it's $8 billion or a little less than that, or is this going to be a budget that the governor is going to sign? Is it close to that, or are they going to need to make more cuts before Ferguson will sign it? So he says he's not going to sign a budget with huge tax increases.
Yeah, that's the $1 million question. I think we're close, but I don't think they're quite there. If it's an eight, I think there's a decent chance he signs it. They're not at eight yet. I think if they come in at anything above that, I'm hopeful that he will refuse to sign it and he'll bring us back in special session. I mean, I don't want to go to special session by anybody else, but our state can't afford this level of taxation. So I'm hopeful that he'll stand. I wish he would stand at zero, but I have to admit eight's better than 20. So the bottom line is, I don't know. I think he will hold an eight or something about there, but I don't know that with any certainty. And I think that's what everybody's asking right now. It seems to me the Democratic majorities are going to try to force his hand. We'll see if he's strong enough to push back.
So then I hear that you're getting out on time is what I'm hearing. And they've obviously brainwashed their caucus into thinking $8 billion is a win for them. Are there other bills that could keep you there and keep you into special session?
I don't think all of these tax proposals are a sure thing. I think the sales tax proposal is going to be a tough lift. House Republicans are doing a fantastic job, and they've got a pretty good cohort of moderate D's that are also with them. So I think that may be a problem in the House. And if that goes upside down, I think they have trouble with their budget. There's a few other things. The other thing that is not getting a lot of attention right now is they're still trying to push through a transportation revenue package, and you've been through this before. To try to think they can do that with 5 days less seems like a long shot to me, but that might But at this point, they're getting close enough. They may not have a backup plan. I think there's probably a half a dozen small, you know, individual bills, whether it's new taxes or the budget itself or transportation, that could push us into overtime. Hard to tell for sure right now. It's really a bit of the Wild West.
John, is there going to would they need a bond vote for the transportation package?
They do. Unfortunately, they've already taken it. They pushed that through early in the session. They have, as you probably know, they have the 60% majority, super majorities, to do that without Republicans. So we didn't have a way to stop them. So they don't have to worry about that right now.
So we've seen a lot of social issues and a lot of gun issues and a lot of family rights issues. Those are just moving along, and there's nothing you can do to stop that, right?
Mixed bag. I mean, we can't stop all of it. We have actually stopped two of the three bad gun bills. I don't think the permit bill is going to make it all the way through, which is disappointing because it's so plainly unconstitutional. But it's going to take a couple years to get through the courts. On the parents' rights bills, we significantly reduced the impact in both the House and the Senate bill. But they're still bad bills, and I don't think we're going to stop them. I think that's ultimately going to go back to a vote of people, and I think the people are going to express their clear desire to have parents involved in their children's education.
You know, I think it's fascinating right now because I think Session has been a very long trudge, and I've even heard it from the lobbying side of the community that they're very frustrated with how it's going. One of the things that I guess I want to know is, do you see like an outcome on the other end that maybe the Democrats' middle party is getting tired of this and will want to change?
I do see that. So, and I think you see that most plainly actually in the House Democratic Caucus, you know, where we've got, you know, folks to push back on both rent control and the bill that adds unemployment insurance for striking workers. We haven't been able to stop the bills, although I'm not sure we won't in the end. But we've made them less impactful. You see that in the Senate, although we have so many new people. We got, you know, 12 new people in the Senate, 9 of them on the Democratic side. There are some moderates in there, but they aren't. I mean, they haven't settled enough and understand. You know, they have an ability to vote their district and their conscience, and they've been just kind of pulled into the caucus and their voting party line. Mostly right now. I think with time that will change, but it takes a little time to build relationships for them to understand that they need to stand up for the people in their districts. So I think we got a chance there. We also have, we'll have two special elections this year, one in LD-26 and one now in LD-5 with the passing away of Bill Ramos. So I think we have a chance to push back more specifically. I think the voters have an opportunity to push back and say, no, this isn't the government we wanted.
John, that's a good segue to this question. On last night, we saw two or three levy elections in Lewis County look to be not passing at this moment. Do you think that the tax talk in Olympia has caused the voters just to be sour on all taxes, no matter what they're for, good or bad, I guess?
I think that's true to a certain degree. I mean, if you look at polling, if you just talk to people are, you know, of all political persuasions, I just want government to work better and not be so wasteful. They're frustrated with taxes, and then fundamentally they understand whether the tax is directly on them or it's taxing someone, you know, businesses or whatever. They're going to pay the price in terms of cost of living. So that is true. Property taxes, in particular. Folks are very sensitive to that. But we've had huge increases in property tax across our state, certainly in our district, and it's putting a lot of pressure on people's budgets. And so it's not surprising at all to me that we're having trouble passing levies or bonds. People are losing, and I guess the other thing I would say is people are losing a certain amount of confidence in our K-12 public education system, which is unfortunate. We need that system to work well. But the Democratic majorities have put so many non-academic requirements in K-12 public education that people are losing faith. And, of course, this attack on parents' rights isn't helping build trust at all.
John, that's a another good segue to this. Yesterday, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments from the parents group that's suing a county back east when it comes to the type of opt-out policies schools that are allowing kids to have. Do you think that it seems like, listening to what the Supreme Court justices had to say during the oral arguments, that there could be a positive ruling when it comes to parental rights? How will a decision like that impact Washington State when it comes to the type of rights parents have with school districts?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that case in particular, but I would say it adds, broadly, it adds to this push for more options for parents and their children. You know, we have a few options in our state. You know, you have choice when it comes to, you can choose to go to different school districts, and we see people in our community do that sometimes. You also have a Running Start, which gives you some choice in high school. But broader choice options, frankly, historically in Washington haven't been, you know, think about the battles with charter schools, have been difficult with the voters, but that's all changing. This in the last 5 years in particular, parents have become more and more frustrated with the K-12 public education system and are looking for other options for their children. So I think that's going to continue in Washington. I think as a result, you can see real change in the future, either through the legislature or possibly at the, directly from the voters.
You know, last thing for me, John, one of the things that's been hard for me is the repeal of the gas initiative that passed by the people to say you can't ban natural gas. Very confusing title, whatever. We had a client that we were bringing in who, now that the judge has overturned that and they're back to being able to ban it, is very concerned about his future in Washington State and doesn't necessarily want to locate his manufacturer in Washington State because of the environmental issues that we face. And I can't convince him that it's not going to get worse. Any thoughts on that?
I think you nailed it. Both that particular issue where we're putting the energy supply at risk for manufacturers, and then broadly the signal that's been sent, whether we beat back these taxes in front of us or not, the signal's been sent to businesses across Washington and what businesses that might be considering coming to Washington that Washington isn't a friendly place to be. I think that's going to have enormous impact on our economy. It's going to be hard to recruit folks in. I mean, as a manufacturer in my day job, I can tell you, being in Washington is a tough place to be. And if I, you know, if you're not already here, if you're here, you got to fight it out. But I mean, why? It's hard. I don't envy you trying to convince folks to locate here, because we've made a very unappealing. We, being the Democratic majorities in the legislature, made a kind of an unappealing prospect for folks who want to come to Washington. I give them the benefit of the doubt. Yes, I don't think the Democrats understand the negative message they're sending to the folks who drive our economy, that Washington is not a good place to do business, and we're gonna pay the price, I believe.
No, it's hard too, because it seems like all we're gonna get is distribution warehouses, and those aren't the right kind of jobs. We do need manufacturing, and Washington has made that difficult. Chad, you had something?
Yeah. My last question would be, it seems like the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction is continuing to be defiant on
ragdoll
on executive orders issued by the president. Does the House or Senate have any ability to, you know, kind of get that department back in line in any way, or is that completely isolated from, impact from, the people of the state or executive orders?
We absolutely do, and Reichdahl's been terrible. He's been playing politics when he should be worrying about children's education, and he basically looks the other way when we get, you know, declining test scores. He doesn't want to talk about that. He'd rather talk about social issues. He'd rather play politics with the federal administration and leave our kids behind. We have things we could do in the legislature. Unfortunately, the Democratic majorities so far have been not willing to do that. I will say that Governor Ferguson has in the past said he supported getting rid of Superintendent of Public Instruction, shift that to a department. I have been a little bit controversial in supporting that position because, look, you know, we've tried this for a long time. We've never gotten a Superintendent of Public Instruction that would really take the lead. And frankly, that election doesn't play high in people's minds when it goes to the ballots. I'd like to be able to put that solely in the responsibility of the governor and hold the governor accountable for getting a better education for our children.
That's a great idea. I love that. And we want to thank you so much for calling in today. I know you're a super busy man. I know you're driving up doing some work. Thank you so much for representing our district and leading our party.
You bet. Thanks for having me on. You guys take care.